what was he wearing? Well, he produced, he was wearing a red Argyle sweater and tan trousers and red shoes. No, he's not retarded.
Hello and welcome to another Surviving Brady Red Sox podcast. My name is Red. His name is Denton, and we are back for another scintillating discussion of the 2012 Boston Red Sox. Actually, we just as we were starting this up here, we realized something. Now, Denton, we've been kind of lax on the podcast this year. We've been slacking.
Much like our team.
Exactly. We are the Boston Red Sox of podcasting. We did a shit ton of podcasts at the beginning of the season. We had like a guest star palooza. We had Mikey Adams on. We had Heidi Watney. We had Jen Royal. We had the great Tom Cameron from Nesson. But the last podcast that you and I did, believe it or not, was opening day 2012. Could we have possibly believed the shitstorm that was going to... I would almost recommend anyone listening to this one to go back and listen to whatever the fuck we talked about in April.
Sure we were all fired up about, postseason and 100 wins and...
Where are we watching the World Series? Your house? My house? The moon? Secret base on the moon? I know we were talking about Bobby Valentine. It's almost comical. It sucks. Let's face it. It sucks when the Red Sox do shitty, when they have a shitty year. They're having an unbelievably shitty year. But, we've lived through some pretty shitty years. But I did not. I mean, did you imagine it could really be this bad?
Never. No, I gave up on June 12th. But a couple times after that, they almost sucked me back in. And that's pretty early to give up on this team. But, God, opening day was, it was all hope and good stuff and new manager, and not that I ever liked the manager. It was still hope.
It really came down crashing. Now, you speak about getting back on the bandwagon. You had me a couple of days ago because,
damn it, I was there.
The idea of the reverse 2011, in September. Now, last year at this time, we were pretty much the best team in baseball, weren't we? I mean, we were on a tear.
I actually heard a stat today that at this time, on this date last year, we were 30 games above 500.
Jesus.
And now we're 7 under. Think about that.
That's amazing.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, that too. It's both amazing and pathetic at the same time. That is sad. But you got me thinking about the reverse 2011, and I said, you know what? This trade, Tradezilla, this parting of the ways with these people who we considered to be bad seeds, bad clubhouse karma, whatnot, got rid of them. Then suddenly Bobby V's got some people who maybe will actually listen to him or whatnot. So I was thinking the same thing. Maybe this is it. How amazing would it be to lose Gonzo, to lose Beckett, to lose Crawford, not to mention the fact that we lost Uke earlier on. You've got but to get rid of them and win it. Go on a tear in September with the likes of Podsednik and Ross and Lavarnway and Siriaco. It was almost like the storybook ending to an otherwise extremely shitty season. And then, of course, have they won a game since the trade? I don't even keep track.
I don't think they've won a game since I contemplated getting back on the bandwagon, so I might be to blame for this whole thing.
Oh, my God. It's been...
And that reverse 2011 thing, that's not just something I threw out there. I had calculations. I had schedules in front of me. I had it all worked out. It was going to happen. And then...
Had the slide...
Kind of didn't.
The slide rule was out.
I had the abacus out. I had everything going on.
My sundial tells me this is a good night to bet on the Red Sox. that would have been just phenomenal. But last night was really just... If you had been wondering if you still had one foot on the bandwagon and one foot on the ground, last night's game was probably the one that had you jump off and roll around into a ravine and set yourself on fire, because that was a really shitty game. Zach Stewart gave up how many runs by the time all was... Is he still alive? Are his whereabouts known?
Oh, he's already back in Pawtucket. Or on a bus in that direction,
exactly.
Anyway.
She'd be on a crate heading to South America right now. With the, get this guy on the banana boat. That was pretty shitty. And it's almost a comedy of errors. It really just keeps getting worse. It almost makes you wonder, let's ask this question right now. Do you think they have any chance of making the postseason? As we sit here today,
none.
They're done. Wait, hear me out.
No.
As we stand here today, the Red Sox are 62-69. They are 13.5 games behind the Yankees, and in the magical wild card standings, when we get two wild cards this year, they are 10.5 games with the A's and the Orioles at the top. So it's going to take a lot of glue to make this shit work again.
The A's and the Orioles both won today too.
Did they?
Oh, and just to make things even more dismal, Josh Reddick hit his 27th home run today.
Is that the same Josh Reddick, or is it just like one of those things where people from Cuba all have the same name, they just keep bringing them in? Yeah, all right, so I still am always hesitant to say that they're done, but I cannot imagine. And now in September, we're playing, you know, we're not playing the Twins, not that the Twins have been easy for us.
No, they have not.
We're not playing the Twins or the Indians and the Royals through the bulk of September. We're playing, I think the bulk of our games are against the Orioles, the Rays, and the Yankees. So it's not like it's going to be easy pickings come September. So it could conceivably get a lot worse.
It could. I mean, this West Coast swing, which in theory shouldn't be that bad, looks like it's going to really suck.
Yeah.
And then let's take a quick look at the schedule.
Doesn't it suck too? I mean, it's been so long since the Red Sox have really, really shit the bed that you forget. Maybe it's good in a way because it reminds us that it can't all be, you know, it's not your birthright to make it to the playoffs. I think it's kind of good every once in a while to have an absolute fucking just absolute shit ass season, which is really what we're competing for right now. The 1992, as I've mentioned many times in the blog, the 92 Red Sox were the worst Red Sox team of my lifetime. At this point on August, the fuck day is today? On August 30th, 1992, the Red Sox were 60-70 en route to a final record of 73-89. That was good for seventh place in the American League East. And this is back when, you know, we didn't have the Central. We had the East, the West. Conversely, the 2012 Red Sox at this point are 62-69. So not that far off from the 60-70 record. So
honestly, it could happen. They've got Oakland, Seattle, Toronto, Yankees, Toronto, Tampa, Baltimore, Tampa, Baltimore Yankees. They could really just fall apart.
So is there any shame? Does it seem nasty? Am I being a bad fan to say, hey, if you can't win, if you're going to go down in flames, how awesome would it be to at least say this was the worst Red Sox team of my lifetime? That's really the only thing right now that they can shoot for. They're probably not going to the World Series. I don't know that they're going to be playing. They may just cancel tonight's game. They may just say, fuck it. Do we really want to do this? Why are we doing this? Is anyone watching? That's the one thing that I think makes it interesting for me. It's the fascination of the abomination. It's the car wreck you can't take your eyes off of. It's the idea that could these guys be? That 1992 team was shit. I remember going to some of those games with my father, and I mean, and on paper, that team, I mean, you had Mo Vaughn, you had Wade Boggs, you had Bob Zupczyk. I know you're a big Zupczyk fan. You had Clemens, you had Frank Viola.
Sweet music.
Frank Viola makes a team. When you have Frank Viola, the rotation in 1992 was Roger Clemens, Frank Viola, Joe Hesketh, John, I'm going to put a sweater on, Dobson, and Mike Gardner. And in the pen, you had Jeff Reardon, you had Greg Harris. Remember Greg Harris?
Oh, righty and a lefty. He had that fancy glove that he could pitch either way,
exactly,
which they never let him do, I don't think.
Exactly. He was bisexual. No, not bisexual. What is it? Ambidextrous. and you had Matt Young.
Well, you never know about the other one.
Exactly. Yeah, Matt Young and Tony Fossus was on that team too. Tony Fossus. the lefty. He was the lefty specialist, right?
I thought he was making pizza in the East End. But
my father
might have been the year after.
My father used to get on his spring training, and he'd come back. I remember one year he came back, and he's like, "Hey, we were in Taco Bell. He was in some restaurant. We were in the Ground Round or Taco Bell. We saw Tony Fossus." I was like, was he
working there?
Did he get you to your seats?
even if they don't reach the depths of being the worst team in your lifetime, this is the harsh reality of what it was like to be a fan before 2004 for all those people that jumped on the bandwagon then. Welcome to our world.
That's an excellent point, and that is true. You had some shitty teams, and it just didn't happen every year. The playoffs, it just barely happened. And when it did happen, it was usually quick and painful. Remember all those postseasons against the A's and Dave Stewart?
They always pitched Clemens against Stewart.
Exactly.
And could never beat him.
They'd make it to the playoffs, then you'd go to take a shit and you'd come back and be over. What the fuck happened to where's my playoffs? They're over. You lost. Put your pants back on and go home. In regards to the trade, what was your overall? First of all, I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I mean, it's funny. You hear people being put on waivers and things like that, and usually nothing ever comes to pass. I mean, I think they put Manny on waivers every year that he was with us, more or less. But how amazing was that when all was said and done? I mean, it's actually funny that one of the highlights of this year was getting rid of half the fucking team, or at least...
I still don't know how it happened. How do you take that trade? Crawford just had surgery. Beckett's been absolutely horrible. Do they really want Gonzalez that bad?
That must be... unless it was Punto, as you alluded to.
I still think that's... they know something.
Maybe they know something. Maybe he's... some candidate for that, like the Steve Rogers Super Soldier program or something. I don't know. Maybe they have plans for him that involve replacing his body with robotics or something. But I was amazed that it happened, and it was interesting how it was. Just, everyone was caught up in the excitement, just so happy to see these people go. I mean, if they told you that at the beginning of the year, you go back and listen to that opening day podcast we did. If we knew that, the end of August, we wouldn't have Uke, we wouldn't have Beckett, we wouldn't have Crawford, we wouldn't have Gonzo. I mean, we'd be fielding this team. I mean, some nights it barely even looks like a major league lineup,
Well, they don't play like a major league lineup. I think out of all those guys that we've gotten rid of, Uke got the raw deal out of all of them. I think he was just on Bobby's list and they got rid of him. I mean, if you remember back to a couple of years ago when they were getting rid of Manny and Uke had that little dust up, and it was everybody slammed Manny. Manny was, he's such an asshole. He's getting in a fight with his own player, and Uclis is just, he's playing with intensity. And now this year, the whole thing reversed, and Uke was the bad guy in that scene, and he plays like a baby. He doesn't. It's not intensity. It's I don't know. I just don't. I didn't like him getting booted the way he did. But
the fact that we have an apartment full of Uke shirts unsold doesn't factor into that.
You weren't supposed to bring that up. Those are going to be collector's items someday.
Exactly. Those in the Who Died Midge Jess Beckett shirts.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone's looking for shirts, we get your shirts. We'll have to fire us. They make a swell gift.
Yeah. We'll give you $5 to take them off our
Exactly. Got to be some LA people who might want them. We'll get those. We'll move those Becker shirts. We'll pack them up and head out west.
That's right.
Not if he fucking pitches the way he has. Then actually, he rectified himself, if I may. It was kind of comical in his first game with the Dodgers. The first batter he faced, he gave up a home run on the second pitch. That was pretty funny, because I think obviously you lose these players and your first thought is, all right, they're going to go out there and they're going to rake, they're going to tear it up. It's going to be like Clemens leaving us and going to the fucking Blue Jays and becoming a robot and turning it on and going nuts, and you hate to see that, but it's refreshing to see. He's just done, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I do regret losing Crawford. I was hoping...
$20 million a year, and he's never done anything.
I was hoping to see at least one season that where he'd be healthy, and but who knows if that's even going to happen. You know?
Get MLB TV, and you can watch it on the Dodgers channel.
I know. On their dime, no less. But I don't know. I do have to agree that I think it's it is the lost season, but I think in many ways it's not necessarily a bad thing. What do you think happens to Bobby V? Do you think he's still here next year? Do you think, I mean, who if you get rid of him, who do you bring in? I mean, the guy we keep talking about is
Farrell.
Yeah, they keep talking about John Farrell, but I mean, Christ, his team's the only team in baseball doing worse than ours.
They were talking today on the radio. Tony Mazz was saying they were talking about trading Bard for John Farrell. Can you even trade a player for a coach? I've never heard of that.
I'm sure. With Bud Selig at the wheel? Why not? We're going to give them these trees, and they're going to give us... That's great! That's great for the game. Bring on those trees.
I don't know. It almost looks like they brought in Bobby V just to be like the... Get in the clubhouse, figure out who's really the asshole in the clubhouse, and we'll get him out of here, Aaron. We'll get a new coach for next year. I can't believe they would actually keep him next year.
I can't.
He can't manage the game.
I still don't understand what he was doing. I mean, if you had any questions as to what exactly he's doing, I think watching him leave Zach out there.
Zach Stewart,
leaving him out to dry. I mean,
it looked like the same thing he did to Lester a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, has he just checked in at this point? Has he checked out, rather? I mean, is he done? I don't know. I just don't know where they go for next year. I mean, is it Farrell? Is it... people talk about bringing Varitek back as the coach.
Oh, no, stop.
You don't think Tech would make a good coach?
That would be the worst move. No, absolutely not.
He really handled the pitching staff, they say. That's what they tell me.
I don't even know what that means.
Guy really handled the pitching staff.
Yeah.
Well, then then they also talk about Bill Miller, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I don't know. I mean, look at a guy like Terry Francona. I didn't know who the fuck he was when they brought him in. I mean, I knew he did really shitty in Philadelphia. You know, I mean,
true.
That's really all you knew about him. And he came here, and suddenly it's like we're all, oh, if only we had Tito back, it would be amazing. And
I still think he is 100% blameless in this whole debacle. He was a scapegoat. I mean, you think he was that good a manager for, what, 6.5 years or whatever, and then in 1 month his whole system just fell apart? How could he possibly be to blame for that?
How does Bobby V remain, is he not let go in this situation? Is it because they don't want to... Who they let go? Was it Jimmy Williams they let go and they put Joe Kerrigan in charge?
Oh, that was another another classic.
That might have been, at that point they might have said, you know what, let's never do that again. Let's never fire a manager in the middle of a season or towards the end, because this just doesn't work. But
I'll tell you what, how much would you pay to see those pictures that Pedroia took of Bobby V asleep on the trainer's table? Those have got to come out.
Have they come out? Are they out anywhere? I haven't seen
them.
No,
not that I've seen, but I mean, that's just classic. And they're shitting all over Pedroia for even doing it. That's not being a leader. If your boss is sound asleep on the trainer's table, I mean, really?
Let's set him on fire. No, no, no. He might have talked them down, No, let me just take
true.
A picture here, Back in the day, you're telling me Steve Crawford wouldn't have put his nuts on the guy's head?
Did you teabag my drum set?
I know. Get a picture of this! My nuts on his head! Great, Steve Crawford. Thank you. That's something you got to read. It's funny, not to go off on a tangent here, but the oil can Boyd, you gave me a copy of that a while ago, and I was hesitant to read it, but one night I was flipping through it, and I looked at the pictures, and I got sucked in. Next thing I know, I'm reading about this, and I love the picture he paints of some of those assholes and miscreants they had in the clubhouse around 85, 86, 87.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Steve Crawford sounds like he's really the kind of guy you'd want to be bunkmates with somewhere.
Oh, he was the biggest dick out of them all. Isn't he the guy that didn't want to, share any of his money with the clubhouse guys?
Yeah, he needed his fishing money. That's my fishing money.
That's right. That's right.
That's my money for putting my nuts on a manager's head. So, in concluding our first, probably our last podcast of the season, the way the season's going. We'll obviously be back to do the
polls. We'll do a Christmas special.
Exactly. We'll have the holiday special. The points we want to make here, the Red Sox... Done. No playoff aspirations, no playoff chances.
Completely done.
Bobby V, you don't think he's coming back next year?
I am praying he's not coming back.
John Lackey, however, will be back next year. We're looking forward to that. You never know what you'll get out of Mr. Lackey. Who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised if they find some way to dump him in the offseason either. He's kind of last hope from the whole chicken and beer scandal. I don't know if they're going to keep him around.
Could be. Who knows? Get rid of Dice K. Get rid of Lackey. Isn't Dice K done? Isn't this his last year anyways?
I don't know, but his contract at this point is probably movable.
Yeah.
So I could see them getting rid of him.
Yeah.
He pitched a gem the other night.
He did.
He spun a beauty.
He did. He's back. He's back. Right. He's born again. Does the gyro ball exist, though? Have we seen that yet? I'm still waiting to see that.
Only in the minds of the people that paid $51.111 million to talk to him.
But Dice K, what about the gyro ball? Oh, no gyro ball. No gyro ball. No.
He giggles every time he hears it.
Thank you for the money. Thank you for the money. That's not really even a good Japanese imitation. What the hell is that? Thank you for the money. What is that?
A little Russian.
It's Russia. It's Boris. It's fucking the guy from Bullwinkle.
That's right.
Thank you for the money.
That's
anyway, so, all right, so it doesn't look good. It's unfortunate, but I've got my fingers crossed. I really do, and I'm not saying this to be a dick. I'm just saying it strictly for the entertainment purposes. I really want this to go down as the worst Red Sox team of my lifetime, and they're close, 62-69 to the 1992 team's 60-70, and could they fit? The thing is, the Blue Jays are just fucking awful. So as bad as the Red Sox are, there's a good chance. I mean, think of how shitty we played, and we're still ahead of the Blue Jays. That doesn't even make sense. That's how shitty the Blue Jays are.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the schedule now, and the Blue Jays are bad, but they're not that bad when they play us.
Yeah, nobody is. Nobody's bad. Everyone loves to play us. That was the turning point for me. I think this season...
The Blue Jays swept us not that long ago, the last series.
You could probably say that this season ended that game, although mathematically it has not ended yet. But I think spiritually, I think this season ended that weekend game against the Twins where we were leading and they came back and Joe Mauer hit that home run
yes.
at the bottom of the ninth to put them... And that was... It smacked of like one of those, John Wasden moments, one of those Heathcliff Slocum moments, you know, it harkened back to those really, really shitty, Red Sox eras where the worst case scenario actually happened. And, I think that was the end. After that game, that was just...
What was the, final record in the 92 season?
The final record was 73-89. That was seventh place in the East.
So we'd have to go 10-21 for the rest of the year.
And think about it. In September,
I could see that happening.
And again, on this date back in 92, 20 years ago, the Red Sox were 62-69. No, they were 60-70. And and the 2012 team is 62-69. And we haven't played yet tonight. So if we, let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's say we lose. We have John Lester on the hill tonight, but let's say we lose. We're 62-70. That puts us just two games, you know, we're two games off from the pace of the 92 team, which was 60-70 at this point. So.
And we got a bad schedule ahead of us.
Yeah.
I can see this happening.
Could happen. I mean, is there any joy in that? No. I mean, it's not the kind of thing you want to run through the streets.
Has there been any joy all season?
No, the joy is dead. But it would be, you know, it just as someone who just likes to, you know, for the pure spectacle of it, I think it'd be kind of interesting. It's been such a shitty year. Let's just go all the way with this. Let's make this the absolute shittiest. Burn it to the ground and then see what happens next year. Maybe something good rises from the ashes. Maybe Bobby V is here for another year. Who knows? But, you know, it could not get any worse than it is. And I think to get back to our roots, to get back to... You know, remembering of the lean years, I think it's a good thing spiritually for us if this team just shits the bed from here on out and ends up being the last the worst team of my lifetime. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see what happens. But I guess that's it for me. You got any closing thoughts? Any words of wisdom? Any? How's Jenny Dell treating you? What are you thinking of Jenny?
I don't know where she's been. They've had some not Jenny Dell.
Oh yeah, they had Nukarako Fujihama there, the girl from.
Yeah, that's not working for me.
No, the one from who does the Bruins, whatever. I know that's not her name, obviously.
But, she's probably a big hit in the hockey circles, but I'm used to a little bit more quality on the sideline reporting from the Red Sox.
I think it's interesting.
So I want my Jenny back.
I'm actually amazed at how. I mean, by this point, I think I'd already in her first year, I think I'd already dedicated about 57 posts to Heidi and nothing. I don't even think we've had a picture of Jenny Dell. We had one picture so far this season. She's just like a non-entity to me. I mean, she's there, obviously, but I don't know. It just doesn't make the impact. It'll be interesting. I mean, I know they sign these people. They usually lock them up for a while, but I don't know. Just doesn't it's not quite doing it for some reason. I don't know.
It could be Craig Sager or whatever the hell that guy is that wears the friggin' technical green coats on the
the guy.
Sidelines of the basketball games.
It's just having too
or
many.
Or could be you.
It could be. Then I think it's just too many. I mean, now they, you know, they get now Wakefield's doing the Nesson games, and you know they've already got Rice and Matt Stairs.
Honestly, I saw Wakefield doing one of those games. He was horrible.
Really?
He looked like he was dumbfounded, like he didn't even know what they were talking about through the game. It was terrible. I love Wakefield, but he might not be cut out for the booth.
That's kind of like when they have Dave Stewart. They had Dave Roberts. Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics, come on down, do a game. when Dave Roberts was doing the games for us for Nesson, I had the same feeling. It was that whole. But I'll be damned. I love him dearly. To this day, I don't understand what the fuck Jim Rice is saying. I don't understand him, and he makes me very nervous.
Hitters hit.
He makes me very nervous when he talks. I don't mean to sound derogatory, but I don't understand what he says, and I get nervous. My father used to get that nervous tick listening to him talk. I don't understand what he's saying. What's he saying? And you just flip the channels around. You feel bad for him.
He's Jim Rice, motherfucker.
He's Jim Rice. You don't need to understand him. Understand this. Punch. Right. This man walked into Yankee Stadium to get his went into the crowds in Yankee Stadium to get his hat back in the 70s. He will kick your ass. Laugh about Jim Rice. Anyway, so that's it. I think we've touched on everything there is to touch on. This year just sucks, and the sooner it ends, probably the better. But we'll check back in, and we'll see how they we'll see how things are going. We'll see if this can. That's the big question. Can this become the worst Red Sox team of our lifetime? We'll see what happens. In the meantime, my name is Red. His name is Denton. For those of you still listening, thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Oh.